Good morning. A little change out there today. Now, how many people did you see in t-shirts yesterday? 40 years ago today. Yeah? You know, we all say, we think, oh, I'm never going to say that. But, you know, where did the time go? You know, from time to time, people will ask me, you know, well, gosh, I mean, how old, when you think of yourself, how old do you think you are? And I guess it strikes me to say, well, 40. Maybe it's a good guess. How old do you think you are? I mean, some people, I mean, I knew a person well into her 80s, oh, about 18. Good for you. You know, I would say about 40. Do you still have the video from yesterday? How long would it take you to pull it up? About 20 minutes?
No, a couple minutes.
Okay, well.
I would have to stop the live stream, though.
That's probably a good thing. Well, I'm going to show it after Mass. Okay. So my sister had put together, she said she had like 100 pictures, and she only put like 30 in the video. If you really wanted to see me when I was a baby, like 3 weeks before I started growing my beard. Anyway, if you want to see that, it's probably not smart to put it on the video, on the live stream anyways, but we had a nice event last evening. I'm very grateful for all the coordinators and idea persons who kind of put the whole thing together. I see actually a number of those people here today, so maybe we didn't party hard enough because, well, here we are. So, what do I say? I mean, 40 years, really. I could never have imagined, really. You know, the things that the Lord had in mind for me, and I presume continues to have in mind for me. I began yesterday similarly, and it really was somewhat stressful in a way to think about it, you know. And I kept thinking, like, well, why? You know, why be anxious? Why be nervous isn't the word, you know. But I'll tell you why. And I don't know if you've noticed, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I've noticed, as I've continued really throughout my life as a priest, my annual retreats, and I regularly continue to see a spiritual director, how much I've grown. You probably recognize I can tend to be a pretty serious person, and probably more serious than I could or would or should or ought to be. But, you know, that's me, you know. You know I'm already introverted because I've only told you that like 28 times. This is what you get, you know. But I realized, I actually went to confession before Mass yesterday because I knew there were some other priests coming. And I thought, you know, this is probably, because I haven't been sleeping well. And I, you know, I hit that pillow and it's like, good night, you know, whatever, you know. But really, for all the things that I've gone through in life, and I mention this, and they sound a lot more dramatic than they are, but I don't know, I've been beat up in high school, I was robbed at gunpoint, I've been hit by a train, I've been in 3 or 4 car accidents, I've had 4 heart surgeries, I'm probably going to have another one within the next year. But you know, really scares me? What scares you the most? Love. Ever feel overwhelmed by love? There was a over here. I don't know. I mean, it's in your bones. And I did, and maybe I should or shouldn't have, but I said, you know, so many people, particularly my family, but other people too, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? I said, I don't know when I'm going to retire. Well, you know, it's really a great way of life. And I didn't say it, but you know, most of the people that I talk to that are retired, oh, Father, you know, you might as well keep working because I've never been busier. Okay. I don't want to retire. I feel called. I value what I do. I presume that you value what I'm doing. I know you like to complain about the 20-minute homilies. And I swear, I tried very hard to not go over 18 and a half minutes. You got what you got. If you get another priest, I hope you do, and I pray for that every day. I hope you're praying, because I don't know how long I'll be here. Might be a year, might be 6 months, might be 3 years. I have no idea. Like the rest of you, I'm not getting any younger. But, oh, finally, we get somebody that only talks for 7 minutes. I've grown in my faith. I hope you have too. I hope you know more about God. I hope you know more about Jesus. And I mean from the inside out. Not just the coat, the shirt of church religion. I hope you know Jesus now from the inside out. In a little more, a little better, a little different way. So maybe just by saying that last evening and today, I'm going to crack that nut just a little bit. We all come from different paths. I my origins are Germanic, a German family, and I had very loving parents, very providentially generous and really wonderful. If the world had parents as good as my parents, the world would be a lot better place. But there wasn't a lot of affection. You know, Germans are not particularly affectionate. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It was what it was. So I'm always impressed, really. When I see families and they're hugging and kissing all the time, I'm like, God, where'd you ever think of that? You know, it's like, go to an Italian family. You see that all the time. I thought, it really was a great evening last night, but just it strikes me. And there's one of the pictures in the video is about six kids, and I'm feeding one with the bottle, and the other one's, you know, sitting around, and I was in the second row, but someone came and kind of filled that seat up, so I sat in the front row with all the little kids, the children of my nieces and nephews, and, you know, I don't see them as much with, you know, two of my brothers gone now, and sister-in-laws are traveling, and, you know, they're older, and they're retired. You know, so I don't see them but twice a year a lot of times. Well, I'm sitting in the front row, and three of the little kids at different times came and just sat on my lap. I thought, well, how sweet is that? For me, that was really sweet. You know, I couldn't figure out which one it was. I can't remember their names, you know? Yeah, mostly I do. Anyways, that's not even part of my homily. So this is going to be one of, you know, 19 minutes instead of 18 and a half. But notice, you know that 40 is a pretty active biblical number, right? It's both linear or chronological, but it also reflects spiritual seasons, times of life. So you know, for instance, that we have 40 years after the Israelites were released from captivity from Egypt. 40 years they traveled. That's a season of life. Was it exactly calendar-wise 40 years? It was a long time, maybe 40 years, literally. But it was a season of life, and it's important for us now because it symbolized for us, for them, it was literally freedom from captivity. But for us, Moses was the Christ of the Old Testament. He was the Christ figure. But for us, our freedom is our liberation from sin and death, right? It's a long journey through our lives, burdened with sin as we are, and yet now we are liberated from that already. We're freed. That's why we have to take Christ interiorly. If it's just on the surface, it's too easy to look around the world and say, oh my God, how can I believe in a God of love when all this is going on in the world? We need that liberation now, do we not? We do, and that's the freedom, 40 years, the course of a life. But then John the Baptist for 40 days, again, another season of life. 40 days he spent in the desert eating bugs and locusts and eating honey. He probably enjoyed that too. He was trying to figure out God's call and whether he could or would or should answer that call. Jesus too, then 40 days in the desert, a wild place, a threatening place, as he too had to determine and question whether he wanted to accept what he was beginning more and more to realize, that he was the beloved one of God And would he accept that call of the Messiahship, which ultimately would lead to the cross? They discerned their calls, and they both said yes. When I was 40 years old in 1992, I did a 40-day retreat. I'm kind of getting a theme here. 40. I did a 40-day retreat in my 40th year on the East Coast. It's a Jesuit retreat house, Eastern Point in Gloucester. And 40 days is a long time to be on retreat. But it was a blessed and challenging experience. But I think it was at about that time, and I don't remember whether it was a spiritual director or I just happened to come across a verse. And there's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy. It's chapter 2. It's verse 7. And the verse goes like this. The Lord your God has blessed you in all your undertakings. He has been concerned about your journey through this vast desert. It is now 40 years that he has been with you, and you've never been in want. I claim that. I take it personally. I've thought of that verse time and time and time again. God has always been with me, but he's also always been with you through thick and thin and the trials and the difficulties, and there's been thick and there's been thin. There's been challenging times and fearful times. Whatever mistakes or faults I've made or any accomplishments I've had, it's because of God's defending and protecting and remaining ever-present. So I feel that love that God has for me in a real and personal way. And maybe that's why I preach the way I do. And it doesn't bother me if it's 20 minutes. I guess I'll apologize, but okay, let me talk for 12 or 8 minutes, and what, you can get to your coffee and donut that much faster? Is that more important? No, it isn't. Sorry. I share these things because they're deeply my experience, but it's not about me. I'm sharing them in this way so maybe you can perceive and think about how God's been with you in the 40 or whatever years of your life. I'm not more blessed, protected, defended than anybody else. I try to pay attention to it. But how has the Lord walked with you? I can say for my life, in God's call, and I know it was God's call, but I accepted that call to be ordained and become a priest, that all that's been done has been characterized by grace. A lot more has happened than what I've done. So I was ordained in 1983. I was already 31 years old. So here's the quick preview, you know. My internship year was at St. Sylvester's in Warren, right there on 12 Mile. Now it's a Chaldean church. Times change. I was there just for a year. I followed there and went to St. Francis Cabrini in Allen Park. Big school, bunch of kids, big parish. Was there 3 years. Then I went to Our Lady of Sorrows in Farmington 2 years. After a year and a half there, I was asked to become the spiritual director at Sacred Heart Major Seminary College. They had not yet united the theology seminary from St. John's. Oh, yes, they did. It was right at that time that they were doing that. I was at the seminary as a spiritual director for 10 years, continued there. I was named the pastor at St. Lucy Parish in St. Clair Shores. I was there 8.5 years. It was during that time I was also asked to work in the deliverance ministry. That's when the healing and the inner healing movements began. And I really have to recognize and acknowledge Deborah Turville, not only for her administrative gifts, but her spiritual gifts. We met at St. Lucy's, and there was a very active prayer group there. And it really was an important movement in Debbie's spiritual journey, as she, you know, she had been going to church, and they only happened to come to St. Lucy's because a dear friend of theirs, a neighbor, had passed away within 4 or 5 weeks of my getting there. Brand new priest. A brand new pastor at the parish, and I did that funeral, and they showed up, she and her husband. And we got to know each other that way. And it really was her idea. By the grace of God, through her own spiritual direction program, Father Ben O'Connelly, God rest him, and Father Bernie Owens. And she said, you know, and she was kind of talking with the group at Manresa, I think, about this. Maybe you didn't do that, but, you know, the idea came. And we did those, we are continuing to do those inner healing retreats twice a year, 65 people in a waiting list. I didn't do that. God did that. Not so much now. After COVID, the retreat house has different groups coming in, but we're still doing that retreat at least once a year. The next one is, I think, in March in the spring. Those are movements of God. All the people that found healing and peace and conversion, shedding and letting go of just things that have happened in their lives, that we're binding them up. I can't do that. None of us can do that. We can be agents to become or to do that, but that's God's grace. It's a work of grace. Again, I never would have imagined, never would have thought of these kinds of things as I left the seminary 40 years ago. You know that I've long had a conviction to preach the love and the mercy of God. I didn't decide that on my own. Sometimes these things just come to you. And I was always kind of perplexed or confused when different people, priests and some bishops, gosh, Father Esper, well, where do you get all that? Where do I get all what? Well, all that love and mercy. The seminarians used to say, we don't want to hear that. You know, tell us about spirituality. So that is spirituality. We don't want that psychology stuff. Tell us about spirituality. Love and mercy is not psychology. Where do I get it? Where do you think I get it? Jesus? You hear it, Jesus? And I'm kind of talking to this bishop, you know, and others, you know, like, well, I didn't say all that at the time because, well, he was a bishop and I was like, you know, it's Jesus. You know what I say. The main thing's the main thing, and the main thing has to say the main thing. And the main thing is
Jesus.
There you go. Mercy of God. Jesus is the mercy of God. It's a gift. But it's a gift we all have if we're willing to trust and believe. So I'll make the point again. We are already redeemed. We're not waiting to be redeemed. We're waiting for the fulfillment of that. But your sins are already forgiven. You've heard these things 100 times in 18 years. But I'm not tired of telling you again, and so I will. Was it 10 years ago that Sue Gordon, as the director of religious ed, put this on the little table cards? Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. Why is love truth? Because we can't live without it. Oh, sometimes we try. I'll do it myself. You know the terrible twos? It's cute on a 2-year-old. It's really awkward on a 40-year-old. And it's really kind of silly on an 80-year-old. I'll do it myself. Love is surrender. You have to be willing to let go, to let it in. That's why when those little kids started sitting in my lap, even though they only see me twice a year, or three maybe, you know. Wow, that was sweet. That was nice. You know, I've said it 100 times again, God is the essence of love. And God is given to us in Christ. Almighty God. The almightiness of God is unlimited, freely given self-surrender. God in Christ, all of God, incarnate in Christ, is yielding and surrendering all of that divine love to you, all of us. That's why I preach the way I do, because it takes a lifetime to realize that and wake up to it and let God love you. Your sins matter, but they hurt you and others much more than they hurt God. God's not less God. We're less ourselves, right? So that we're called to believe what we believe. Those sins are forgiven. So that we can go forward. That's why I'd like to say, I'm not tired of saying, that's an ugly image, isn't it? Wretched image of a man crucified. but it's beautiful. Because he did that as an act of pure, perfect love. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think that's probably the truest thing he ever said. And he always spoke truth. But he also did it without resentment and bitterness. That's the mercy of God right there. I'm sorry, we learned so much about sin, right? Not enough about grace. But that's what it's about. With that kind of love, what other kind of God is worthy of our life commitment? There's only one God. With every respect for all the other world religions, there's only one God. Ultimately, there's only one truth, love. And people will, oh, you're Christian, you know, that's your truth, that's not mine. Try to have a happy, meaningful life without love. Love is truth because we can't live without it. There's no punishment or division or rejection in God. But we project those emotions onto God because we punish ourselves, we feel punished by others, we reject ourselves and others reject us, and oh well, if God was a better God and if God loved me more, I'd be okay. God can't love you anymore, but you got to let it in despite the losses, hurts, and disappointments that you've had. These really are very much at the core of the Advent season. The first reading, comfort, give comfort to my people, is God's prophecy through Isaiah to the people who are in exile. And God knows they need comfort. He knows they need a promise that rebuilds their hope. Comfort, give comfort to my people. That is literally true in the world today. You know, in Israel, in Ukraine in particular, but in the Sudan and other places where there's war and civil unrest, poverty, starvation, and oppression, people are longing for the comfort of God. And at the same time, people, too many, are giving up on God. Maybe more in our country, I hate to say, because we like what works. We lay down some cash. We want something to be raised up. It's like, well, I don't believe in God anymore because look at the world. If God is so good and God is so loving and Jesus is Lord, how come the world is such a mess? God's not doing that. We are. If we give up on God, then where are we? You talk about lie, deception, chaos, and confusion. Give up on God, and we'll diminish in a quick hurry. But not only the first reading, in the second reading, in the gospel, why did all those people go out from the whole Judean countryside? Why? Because they were looking for that promise of God. They were looking for that comfort of God. Because they lived in oppression, poverty, day-to-day existence. They were lonely and poor. And they had forgotten God in all their distresses. And so when John the Baptist came along, maybe this is the one, maybe this is he. So they flocked out there, either barefoot or with first century sandals. That couldn't have been easy. But they went out there because they needed hope. They wanted something to give meaning and purpose in the distress of their difficult lives. And they heard that word of John, that word of repentance, which is not a punishing word. It's a word to turn back to God. And John was only preparing the way for the coming Christ. That's why we have a merciful Savior. Jesus says, he does talk about sin minimally, comparative to how he talks about forgiveness and mercy. These are the themes of the Advent season. Comfort and promise and hope as we stand in the light, the increasing light of our Advent wreath. We need Advent, don't we? Yes, we do. For its hope, its restoration, its promise, its renewal, and its anticipation. Jesus isn't going to be born again on the 25th of December. The only way he's going to be reborn if he's reborn in you and in me. Because you and I are the delivery system. By the way we live, by the way we believe, by the way we act with mercy, love, forgiveness, tolerance, and all the virtues of the gospel. That's Christ in the world. All the more important now that we ourselves are the living evidence of Christ in the world. That's why it has to begin with you. Because the more you know yourself and know yourself as one loved by God, the more you'll know God, and the easier it will be for you to be an agent or an agent of love in the world. But if our view of God is looking at sin first, it all gets hidden. It all gets diminished. I can only give thanks and praise to God for 40 years. I think I said yesterday, Lord, 40 more. Not sure that's going to happen. Maybe 10, maybe 2. It's in God's hands. You believe in the love of God. You believe in Christ. If you're tripping over yourself, sit down. Open your eyes and look inside and find the Lord, because that's where he is. If you're looking in the world, you can find him there, but he'll look a lot different if you find him first in yourself. As I've been saying for well over a year now, and all the tensions that are surrounding us, please, like John and Jesus in their time in the desert, pray God's will for the world. Not your will, not your idea, God's will. Thank you for your love and support through the years. I distinctly remember on my first Mass at Our Lady of Victory in Northville, where my parents were living at the time, I said at that time that the people really make the priest, and that's true. Father Craig Marion was with us last evening, and I know priests that have had difficult assignments, either for, you know, their first assignment and other assignments. They have hard assignments, and for a few years there, a lot of the young priests were leaving, even within 3 or 4 years of being ordained, because they've had difficult assignments. I've been blessed with good assignments, big parishes, lots of masses, weddings, funerals, kids, schools. I've been with good pastors. Some priests aren't with good pastors. I don't want to say bad pastors, but they have hard, you know, sometimes it's hard. So I thank you, because the prayer, the love, the support, and the faith of the people for the priest, I'm called to do and to be that for you. But then you're called to do and to be that for me. So thank you, because I want to keep going. May God have his way with it. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus.